Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show, we are going to discuss the usage of the Core Data Framework in iOS. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo Training profile. If you have any questions that you would like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's get started. iOS has a comprehensive collection of tools and frameworks for storing, accessing, and sharing data. Core Data is a full-featured data modeling framework for object-oriented Cocoa Touch applications, while SQLite is perfect for low-level relational database work. Applications can share data using a URL-based system that works across all of iOS. Web apps can persist data in a client-side cache with the HTML5 Data Storage Application Programming Interface, or API. iOS apps even have access to a device's global data, such as your contacts in the address books or your photos in the photo library. Core Data provides a flexible and powerful data model framework for building well-factored Cocoa applications based upon the Model View Controller, or MVC, pattern. Core Data provides a general-purpose data management solution that's developed to handle the data model needs of every kind of application, be it large or small. You can build anything from a contact management application to a vector art illustration program on top of it. The sky's the limit. Core Data lets you quickly define your application's data model in a graphical way and easily access it from your code. It provides an infrastructure to deal with common functionality such as save, restore, undo, and redo, allowing you to get on with the task of building innovation into your application. Because Core Data uses the built-in SQLite data library, there's no need to install a separate database system. Core Data is a schema-driven object graph management and persistence framework. Fundamentally, Core Data helps you to save model objects in the sense of that model view and controller design pattern, lets you save those model objects to a file, and to get them back again. Now, this business of saving those model objects is very similar to archiving, but Core Data offers you much more than just archiving. Among other things, Core Data provides an infrastructure for managing all the changes to your model objects. That infrastructure gives you automatic support for undo and redo and for managing reciprocal relationships between objects. Core Data allows you to keep just a subset of your model objects in memory at any given time, and that's especially important on iOS where conserving memory is critical. Core Data uses a schema to describe the model objects. You get to define the principal features of your model classes, including the relationships between them, in a GUI-based editor. And this provides a wealth of basic functionality for free, including setting of default values and attribute value validation. Core Data also allows you to maintain disjoint sets of edits of your objects. And this is useful if you want to, for example, allow the user to make edits in one view that may be discarded without affecting data displayed in another view. And then finally, Core Data has an infrastructure for data store versioning and migration, and that allows you to easily upgrade an old version of the user's file to the current version. Now, we talked about managed objects. A managed object is an instance of the NSManagedObject class, or of a subclass of NSManagedObject. Conceptually, a managed object is an object representation of a record in a table in the database. So it's a model, in the sense of that model view controller design pattern, object, that gets managed by Core Data. These managed objects represent the data that you operate on in your application. For example, they would be departments or employees in a human resources application. They'd be shapes and text areas and groups in a drawing application. They'd be albums and artists and tracks in a music management application. A managed object is always associated with some sort of a managed object context or environment. This managed object context is an instance of a class called NSManagedObjectContext. That context represents a single object space or a scratch pad or a work area in an application. The primary responsibility of that context is to manage the collection of managed objects. These objects form a group of related model objects that represent an internally consistent view of one or more persistent stores. This context is a powerful object. It has a central role in your application. This context has responsibilities from lifecycle management to validation, relationship maintenance, undo, and redo. Whenever you create a new managed object, it's always inserted into a context. It doesn't live by itself. You fetch existing records in the database into the context where they are stored as managed objects. Any changes that you make, whether they're insertion or deletion of complete objects or manipulation of property values, any of those changes are kept in memory until you actually commit them to your data store by saving the context. You do need to save that managed object context in order to commit changes to the persistent store. So remember that the context acts as a scratch pad. So if you add or modify objects, the changes are held in memory until you invoke save. So it's up to you to decide how to deal with any errors that might occur during a save operation. You need that managed object context and a fetch request in order to get objects from a persistent store. Now, a fetch request is an instance of the NSFetchRequest class. At a minimum, the fetch request specifies the entity in which you are interested. It may also specify any constraints on the values that the object should have and the order in which you want them back. For example, in a corporate information application, you might create a fetch request to retrieve employee objects. They might be ordered by name and might be the objects whose salary is greater than a certain amount. Now, those constraints, such as ordered by name and whose salary is greater than a certain amount, those would be represented by a predicate, and that would be an instance of NS predicate class. The sorting order would be represented by an array of NS sort ordering objects, because you might have different types of sorts. We mentioned earlier that iOS includes the very popular SQLite library. SQLite is a lightweight yet powerful relational database engine, and that's easily embedded into any of your applications. SQLite's used in many applications across many platforms. It's considered a de facto industry standard for lightweight embedded SQL database programming. Now, unlike the object-oriented core data framework, SQLite uses a procedural, SQL-focused application programming interface to manipulate the data tables directly. Now, Interface Builder, which is Apple's graphical user interface editor, provides some pre-built core data controller objects that eliminate the need for much of the glue code, so to speak, between your application's user interface and its data model. Advantages of that: you don't have to worry about the SQL syntax, you don't have to maintain logic trees to track user behavior, you don't have to create new persistence mechanisms. They're all done for you when you wire up your application's user interface to its core data model. Remember that in iOS you always use the memory managed model to retain, release, and auto-release objects, because garbage collection is not supported in iOS. And that's something to keep in mind if you're porting stuff from the Mac OS X environment to iOS. Because memory is more tightly constrained for the iOS-based devices than it is for Macintosh computers, you also need to adjust your use of auto-release pools to prevent the buildup of auto-released objects. You don't want to have a lot of auto-releasing stuff on iOS devices. Whenever possible, release your objects directly rather than defaulting to have them being auto-released. When you allocate a lot of objects in a tight loop, you need to either release those objects directly or create and drain your auto-release pools more frequently to prevent unused objects from building up in memory. Don't wait until the end of your loop and just release them all at once, because that can result in a low memory warning, or even worse, the termination of your application. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation on the usage of the Core Data Framework in iOS. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you would like for me to do, you can let me know by utilizing that question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Radio. It's found exclusively on gogotraining.com.